Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Ram Goldar, and today we're in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud, the first parak of Rosh Hashanim. This Masechta has been generously sponsored as a schus for Chaya Bas Esther. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara inquires, from where is it known that the Orla and Ravai prohibitions are extended into the fourth and fifth years? Rabbi Chi Bar Abba said in the name of Yochanan, and some say it was in the name of Yanai, that after stating that the fruit of a tree's first 3 years is Orla, the Pasuk states, Ubishana HaRavis, and in the fourth year. And after presenting the fourth year's Ravai prohibition, it states, Ubishana Chamishis, and in the fifth year. These connective phrases, through the letter Vav, connect the fourth year to Orla and the fifth year to Ravai, which teaches that, Pamishib Ravis, Vadayin Asur Mishim Orla. There are times when a tree is in the fourth year, but it's still prohibited as Orla. Pamishib Chamishis, Vadayin Asur Mishim Ravai. And there are times when it's in the fifth year, but it is still prohibited as Ravai. This occurs when the fruits emerge early before the Tu B'Shvat of the fourth and fifth years. In this instance, the fruits remain prohibited forever as Orla or Ravai. Point number two is Tana Brice on the bottom of Daf Tes on the base that regarding one who plants a tree or bends a vine into the ground or grafts a branch onto an existing tree in the year before Shemitah, Shoshim Yom Lifnei Rosh Hashanah, also Rosh Hashanah, 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, when Rosh Hashanah arrives, it's considered a full year with regard to Orla, which Rosh explains that it is as if a full year passed and the tree is considered in its second year. And it's permissible to preserve these plants during Shviz. They need not be uprooted. The Gemara here suggests that the Braisa, which says it must be a full 30 days before Shoshana in order to be considered a full year, is not in accordance with the Primer, who said, Yom Echo B'Shana Chashuv Shana, that a single day in the year is legally regarded as a full year. After extensive analysis, the Gemara will conclude that the Braisa is in accordance with the Primer. And when the Torah states that the tree must be planted 30 days before Shoshana, it's Laklita, discussing the period needed for the tree to take hold. And point number three was taught in Bryce where Rabbi Eliezer says, but Tishrei Nivra Olam, the world was created in Tishrei. He also says that Tishrei was the month that Avram and Yaakov were born in and died in, that it was decreed that Sarah, Rachel, and Chana should conceive, that Yosef was freed from prison, and Batu Avodim Avosin B'Mitzrayim, that servitude was removed from our forefathers in Mitzrayim. Ben Nisan Nigao B'Tishrei Ligael, in the month of Nisan, they were redeemed, and in the month of Tishrei, they are destined to be again redeemed. Yitzchak was born during Pesach. Continuing on the next daf, we learn that Rabbi Yeshua says, but Nisan Nivra Olam, the world was created in the month of Nisan. He also differs with Rabbi Eliezer and says that Nisan was the month that Avram and Yaakov were born in and died in, and that Benisan Nigalu, Benisan Asidim Ligael. In Nisan they were redeemed from Mitzrayim, and in Nisan they are destined to be redeemed again. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Gemara inquires, from where is it known that the Orla and Ravai prohibitions are extended into the fourth and fifth years? Rabbi Chi Bar Abba said in the name of Yochanan, some say it is in the name of Yanai, that after saying that the fruit of a tree's first 3 years is Orla, the Pasuk states, Ubishana HaRavis, and in the fourth year. And after presenting the fourth year's Ravai prohibition, it states, Ubishana Chamishis, and in the fifth year. These connective phrases, through the letter Vav, connect the fourth year to Orla and the fifth year to Ravai, which teaches that, Pamishim HaRavis, Vadainas Ramishim Orla. There are times when a tree is in the fourth year, but it's still prohibited as Orla, Upamishim HaChamishis, Vadainas Ramishim Ravai. And there are times when it's in the fifth year, but it's still prohibited as Ravai. This occurs when the fruits emerge early before the Tu B'Shvat of the fourth and fifth years. In this instance, the fruits remain prohibited forever as Orla or Ravai. Point number two is taught in a brace on the bottom of the Daf Tes on the base that regarding one who plants a tree or bends a vine into the ground or grafts a branch onto an existing tree in the year before Shemitah, Shoshim Yom Lifnei Rosh Hashanah, also Rosh Hashanah, 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, when Rosh Hashanah arrives, it's considered a full year with regard to Orla, which Rosh explains that it's as if a full year passed and the tree is considered in its second year. And it's permissible to preserve these plants during Shviz, meaning they need not be uprooted. The Gemara here suggests that the Braisa, which says that it must be a full 30 days before Rosh Hashanah in order to be considered a full year, is not in accordance with the Rimer, who said, Yom Echo B'Shana Chashuv Shana, that a single day in a year is legally regarded as a full year. After extensive analysis, the Gemara will conclude that the Braisa is in accordance with Rabbi Meir. And when the Torah states that the tree must be planted 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, it's Laklita, discussing the period needed for the tree to take hold. And point three was Tana Braisa of Rabbi Eliezer says, but Tishrei Nivra Olam, the world was created in Tishrei. He also says that Tishrei was the month that Avram and Yaakov were born in and died in, that it was decreed that Sarah, Rachel, and Chana should conceive, that Yosef was freed from prison, that Batu Avodim Avosein B'Mitzrayim, that servitude was removed from our forefathers in Mitzrayim, but Nisan Nigalu, but Tishrei Ligael. In the month of Nisan, they were redeemed, and in the month of Tishrei, they are destined to be again redeemed. Yitzchak was born during Pesach. Continuing on the next topic, when the Rabbi Yeshua says, but Nisan Nivra Olam, the world is created in the month of Nisan. He also differs where Rabbi Gazin says that Nisan was the month that Avram and Yaakov were born and died, and that Benisan Nigalu, Benisan Asidin Ligael. In Nisan they were redeemed from Mitzrayim, and in Nisan they are destined to be redeemed again. All right, so now we go to our Simber Daf Yud, and our standard Simon is a minion of Yidden, a minion of Yidden. So here goes. The minion of botanists who knew that oral of fruit on a tree could still be prohibited in the fourth year planted the new sapling 30 days prior to Rosh Hashanah so that it would take hold and count as 1 year, right next to their shrubbery sculpture illustrating which historical events occurred in Nisan versus Tishrei. Once again, in slow motion. The minion of botanists, minion, that must be more in Daf Yud. The minion of botanists who knew that oral of fruit on a tree could still be prohibited in the fourth year, which reminds us that the source of the orla and revive prohibitions are extended into the fourth and fifth year, is that after saying that the fruit of a tree's first 3 years is orla, the pasuk states, ubashana haravis, and in the fourth year. And after presenting the fourth year's revive prohibition, it states, ubashana chamishis, and in the fifth year. These connective phrases, through the letter vav, connect the fourth year to orla and the fifth year to revive. So the minion of botanists who knew the orla fruit on a tree could still be prohibited in the fourth year planted the new sapling 30 days prior to Rosh Hashanah so that it would take hold and count as 1 year. Which reminds me, it was taught in Bryce regarding one who plants a tree or bends a vine to the ground or grafts a branch onto an existing tree in the year before Shemitah, 3 days before Rosh Hashanah, when Rosh Hashanah arrives, is considered a full year with regard to orla. The Gemara suggests that the Brisa, which says that it must be a full 30 days before Rosh Hashanah in order to be considered a full year, is not in accordance with Rabbi Meir, who said Yom Echa B'Shana Chashushana, that a single day in a year is legally regarded as a full year. After extensive analysis, the Gemara will conclude that the Brisa is in accordance with Rabbi Meir, and when the Torah states that the tree must be planted 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, it's Laklita, discussing the period needed for the tree to take hold. So the minion of botanists who knew that oral of fruit on a tree could still be prohibited in the fourth year planted the new sapling 30 days prior to Rosh Hashanah so that it would take hold and count as 1 year, right next to their shrubbery sculpture illustrating which historical events occurred in Nisan versus Tishrei. Which reminds me of the Malkus Rabbi Gazer Rabbi Yeshua regarding which month the creation of the world took place in, as well as other historical events. Was it in Nisan or Tishrei? So once again, the minion of botanists who knew that oral of fruit on a tree could still be prohibited in the fourth year planted the new sapling 30 days prior to Rosh Hashanah so that it would take hold and count as 1 year, right next to their shrubbery sculpture illustrating which historical events occurred in Nisan versus Tishrei. All right, now it's time for a four blot back Chazara. Dav Vav. So the similar Dav Vav is a sword. So here goes. The wealthy sword swallower. Sword? That must be more on Dav Vav. The wealthy sword swallower who gave out tzedakah immediately to the anim, lined up and watching him perform, which reminds us, we learned from Befichoch that one is chai for Baal Ta'achir on tzedakah, and he has to give it out immediately because the anim need it immediately without delay, and he shouldn't think that he's only chai after three regalim pass, like in the case of Karbanas. So the wealthy sword swallower who gave out tzedakah immediately to the anim, lined up and watching him perform, because he learned that one is chai for Baal Ta'achir each and every day after the deadline, which reminds us, one is chai for Baal Ta'achir for each and every day after the deadline passes. The Meir explains that since the mitzvah Baal Ta'achir does not apply at night, since Karbanas cannot be offered at night, therefore the mitzvah is renewed each morning. So the wealthy sword swallower who gave out tzedakah immediately to the anim, lined up and watching him perform, because he learned that one is chai for Baal Ta'achir each and every day after the deadline, realized his wife was feeling left out of Baal Ta'achir, so he gave her a beautiful sword necklace to be mesamecher for the chag. Which reminds us, Rabbi Zeir inquired if women are chayiv in Baal Ta'achir, perhaps since they're not chayiv in Re'iyah, they're not chayiv in Baal Ta'achir, or perhaps since they are chayiv in Simcha, they are chayiv in Baal Ta'achir. According to Abai, women are not chayiv in Simcha, rather it's the husband who's chayiv to be mesamecher. Dav Zayin, so the Simcha Dav Zayin is a gun. So here goes. The gunslinger, that must be on Dav Zayin, Clay Zayin, gun. The gunslinger knocking out targets with suggestions for other Nisan Rosh Hashanahs, which reminds us, the Gemara explains that the reason our time does not include months in the Mishnah is that he's discussing ways in which the New Year is relevant to years, meaning to 12-month periods that have halachic significance. He's not discussing ways in which it's relevant to months. He did not include Iburim because he's only discussing beginnings. He's not discussing culminations, such as the end of a period when the court may proclaim a leap year, and he did include the separation of Shkalim, since the Brisa taught that if one brought the funds from the old year, he fulfilled his chiyuv, and therefore the Tana could not state it as an absolute rule, for this implies it would invalidate the old Shkalim. Therefore, he chose to omit this halacha entirely. So the gunslinger knocking out targets with suggestions for other Nisan Rosh Hashanahs, who was thrilled when it was determined after Purim that it was an Eber year, giving him a second Adar of rent. Which reminds me of a machlokes regarding until when can one add a leap year? Is it the entire month of Adar or only until Purim? The Gemara explains that the reason for limiting the adding of a leap year only until Purim is that since people learn the halachos 30 days before Pesach, the people might come to be lax in observing the prohibition against chametz. Rashi explains that people in the distant communities will have it fixed in their minds that Pesach is in 30 days and they'll not listen to the messengers that come who tell them that it's a month later. The Gemara explains the other Talmud would respond that people know that declaring a leap year depends on calculations, and the reason for the delay was that the rabbis didn't finish their calculations until this time. So that gunslinger knocking out targets with suggestions for other Nisan Rosh Hashanahs, who was thrilled when it was determined after Purim that it was an Eber year, giving him a second Adar of rent, shot up his lease in fury when he realized he signed it that it was for this year and expired the first of Nisan. Which reminds us that if one said that the period of the lease was for Lashana Zot, this year, then even if it was on the first of Adar, when the lease was signed, Kevin Shigi Yom Echo Ben Nisan, also Lashana, as soon as the first day of Nisan arrives, a year has been completed. The Gemara explains that even according to the one who holds Yom Echo B'Shana Chashuv Shana, one day of a year, is considered like an entire year, it's different here, the Latarch Inish Lemega Base Lavatsu Matrasin Yomim, because a person doesn't bother to rent a house for less than 30 days. Daf Ches, so the Simur Daf Ches is Challah. See, here goes. The special Challah, Challah, that must be more Daf Ches. The special Challah served at the Rosh Hashanah meal, marking the seasons and Day of Judgment, which reminds us we have three different pshatim for what the meaning is, that the first of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah for Shanim, for years. It's either for Shtaros, for Tekufos, seasons, or for din. The makor that it's for din, for judgment, is from the pasuk Mereishis Hashana Barachu Shana. The eyes of Hashem are on it, meaning Eretz Yisrael, from the beginning of the year until the end of the year. This means Mereishis Shana Nidon Mayeh B'Sofer. From the beginning of the year, judgment is issued regarding what will occur at the end. So the special challah served at the Rosh Hashanah meal, marking the seasons and day of judgment, was baked in the shape of a shofar in front of a covered moon, which reminds us, the Gemara continues and asks how we know that the pasuk Mereishis Hashana Ba'adach Rishana is referring to Tishrei and answers, for it's written, Tikka B'chosh Shofar, B'chesel Yom Chagenu, blow shofar at the moon's renewal when the moon is covered on our festive day. Now, on which chag is the moon covered? You must say that this is Rosh Hashanah, for Rosh Hashanah is the only chag that falls at the beginning of the month when the moon is hidden from view. And it's written in the next pasuk, Ki Chok Yisrael Hu Mishpat Elokei Yaakov, because it's a statute for Yisrael, a judgment day until the God of Yaakov. We therefore see that Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment. So the special challah served at the Rosh Hashanah meal, marking the seasons and day of judgment, was baked in the shape of a shofar in front of a covered moon, and was presented on a platter inscribed, Happy Start of Yovel Year, to liberated servants wearing crowns on their head. Which reminds us, the Mishnah stated that the first of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah for Yovel, is the Yovel years. The Gemara asks how this can be, for the Rosh Hashanah for Yovel is on the 10th of Tishrei, which is Yom Kippur. The Torah therefore states, V'kidash Mishnas HaChamishim, you shall sanctify the 50th year, Melamed, Shemizkadeshes V'holachis Mitchilaso. This teaches that the year becomes sanctified from its beginning, meaning from the first of Tishrei. From the first of Tishrei, it was forbidden to work the land, and while slaves could not yet return to their homes, they were not enslaved to their masters. Rather, they would eat and drink and rejoice with crowns on their head. Daf Tes, so the Simur Daf Tes is a teapot. So here goes. The little old ladies who had a tea party, that must be on Daf Tes, teapot. The little old ladies who had a tea party when they put down their plows before the Shemitah year began to be Mosif Mechol HaKodesh, which reminds us we have machlokes regarding the source for Mosif Mechol HaKodesh. Rabbi Akiva learns it from Bukhari Shabakatir Tishbos, which he says applies to the Shemitah year. Since we already know that agricultural work cannot be done during Shviz, based on the Pasuk Sadcha L'Sisra, he applies it to before and after Shviz, that one must desist even at the planning of the year before the seventh, whose benefit enters in the seventh, and that one must prescribe Kedusha Shviz to the reapings of the seventh year produce, whose growth continues into the year after the seventh. Rabbi Shmuel, who interprets this Pasuk as discussing Shabbos, learns the principle of Mosif Mechol HaKodesh from the Pasuk dealing with fasting on Yom Kippur. So the little old ladies who had a tea party when they put down their plows before the Shemitah year began to be Mosif Mechol HaKodesh, chattering that they overheard Yovel will begin even if they don't abandon their field to its ancestral owners, which reminds us, we have a Malkom regarding the criteria for Yovel to take effect. Rabbi Yudah says, it will take effect even if the people do not abandon their fields to their ancestral owners, and even if they do not sound the shofar, but will not take effect if they do not free their slaves. Rabbi Yossi says it will take effect even if people do not abandon their fields to their ancestral owners, nor free their slaves, It will not take effect if they do not sound the shofar, and two reasons are given. So the little old ladies who had a tea party when they put down their plows before the Shemitah year began to be mosif michol al kodesh, chattering that they overheard Yovel begin, even if they don't abandon their field to its ancestral owners, couldn't believe it when they heard that even people in Chutzlarts were freeing their slaves. Which reminds us that the Chachamim say that all three elements are essential for Yovel to take effect. The exclusionary term Yovel has come to teach that the laws of Yovel are in effect even outside of Eretz Yisrael, and people must free their slaves. That is, if in Eretz Yisrael, they are freeing their slaves. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron wishing a great day and great learning.